Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey, and everybody tuned in on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM 158. You got a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. So whether you're at work, you're at home, you're in traffic, you're securing things, you're helping people, you're traveling, whatever you're doing, delivering, thank you for listening to CBS Sports Radio. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That means I've been hanging out for an hour already, and we've had a good time. Thank you so much to CBS Sports College basketball analyst Steve Lapis. He came through and joined us last hour. We heard some of the words of Dan Hurley. He has plenty of words, as he always looks for motivation for UConn. And then we talked about the other teams that are going to be moving forward to the Final Four. North Carolina State, Purdue, and then also Alabama, who's going to take on UConn. As we continue on with the show, we will keep you up to date as the Elite Eight for the women get underway. The matchup that everybody's looking for is getting ready to tip off. Caitlin Clark and Iowa are going to take on Angel Reese and LSU. So we'll keep you up to date on that game as it gets started. Obviously a rematch of last year's national championship that LSU won. All of these teams trying to move forward to the Final Four on the women's side. As we continue on with the show, there's quite a few things that we're going to get into. I do want to get into some NFL news later on in the show. Hassan Reddick introduced to the New York Jets did not look all that pleased. Unfortunately, we learned of the passing of Vontae Davis at only 35 years old. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. They said no foul play. And so we'll get there later on. We have some news from LeBron James, I guess non-news about retirement. I guess this is what you do when you get a little bit older. LeBron James already thinking about what comes next and when things end. We'll get there. If you want to holler at me, it's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me all over the place. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief everywhere on social media. And in a few minutes, I want to get into to Zach Edey, you know, the big man from Purdue. A lot of people have varying opinions on what he can do on the next level and what have you. But Hickey, I got a problem, man. I got a beef. You ready for this?
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
The start times for the games, right? I understand. You got to tell people the game starts at 7 so people can get there in time because nothing starts at the hour, right? Where the hell is the basketball game? Like, how much longer do I got to wait? What is it, a 7:15 tip?
Oh, no, yeah, I was just going to say, you see the countdown clock that just appeared?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
And it's 7:03 Eastern, so 7:18.
Yeah, 7:20. Why do they got to do this to us? I don't want to sit around for the stupid pre. Does anybody care about the pregame show?
Maybe this is just me, because I'm never on time. Oh. I like the buffer. I don't hate the fact, like, 7 o'clock on the dot, boom, ball's tipped, and if I'm running a little bit late, all of a sudden now if it's, you know, I'm 5 minutes late and it's 7:05, all of a sudden now I miss the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game. I get me. It sounds like it's a me problem. I'll admit, I do have a problem with times being on time, and I feel like I always have more time than I actually do. I do appreciate a little bit of a 15-minute buffer.
15 minutes? Give me 5 minutes, okay? If you at max, if you're going to tell me the game time is at 7 o'clock, then start the game at 7:10. You know, don't feed me almost 7:20, and now everybody has to look at Flaje Johnson, the highlights, and Angel Reese highlight. Nobody wants to see the highlights. We want to see the game. I hate this. I mean, I could tell you who does this probably a worse job at this. It's baseball. We talked about it last week with opening day. There are so many odd start times now, and no one has ever given like a legitimate reason. You know, why a baseball game on a Sunday afternoon instead of starting at 1:10? You know, why does a game now have to start at 1:45? You know, why does a game have to start at 2:45? Just put the game on, okay? We don't need all this extra nonsense. Yeah, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. The next thing you know, I'll be complaining about cable again. Well, at least, what is it? Well, it's streaming services, is that what it is? Yeah.
The streaming services, and also at the same time be screaming, get off my lawn.
Yeah, I'm rolling up my my newspaper, you know, as we speak, rolling up the newspaper, getting ready to shout at kids just to get off my lawn. It's coming, folks. It's coming. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. As we await the start of this game that was just kind of mislabeled to start at 7, doesn't actually start until 7:18, I'm going to use this opportunity to talk about Zach Edey. Yes, the big man from Purdue. 7'4", 300 pounds. Purdue beat Tennessee 72-66. Zach Edey, I can't say is or was. He's a beast. Just flattened, period. 40 points, 16 rebounds. And nobody's supposed to put up numbers like that in college. I guess when you're bigger than everybody, you're stronger. I watched intently as they just gave this man the ball. He set himself up in the post. Nobody could move him off his spot. And he basically did what he wanted to do. The only thing he didn't do is knock down all of his free throws. But when you're 7'4", you're a man amongst boys out there on a college basketball court. And he was abusing them. I told you this last hour. Zach Edey is only one of 5 players in college basketball to ever have 900 points and 450 rebounds. Larry Bird, Elvin Hayes, Rick Barry, and Oscar Robertson. Like, this is some ridiculous company to keep. But despite that, there's still a lot of folks who look at Zach Edey and say, man, what is he going to do at the next level? He has stayed all 4 years at college. He's wanted to develop and improve his draft standing. He's also wanted to bounce back from some of these bad losses that Purdue always has in March Madness, first-round losses, regional semifinal losses. They get smacked around. And so here they are in the Final Four. And Zach Edey, naturally, because of the numbers that he's putting up, he's garnering more attention. And people are thinking about Zach Edey and what he can do in the NBA. There was a thought that he's too big or that he's too slow. And he can't do this against the next level of competition. So much so that even his own head coach, Matt Painter, he went on a little bit of a rant. He went off on a tangent. For people who just said, hey, you know, you think my guy is just tall? You're an idiot. Listen to this.
What would you say to the people that say that, that are only looking at the size and not just the game?
Yeah, they just shouldn't cover basketball. Yeah, you know. And so, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. And so I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing, and I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching, and I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
Oh my goodness. Hickey, you ready to take your test, Hickey? You ready?
Oh boy. No, I'm not.
I mean, the way he went on a rant, the local Walmart, like, why does he have to bring Walmart into this? He's being disrespectful to the people of Walmart, I think.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's basically saying all the fools get together and they argue at Walmart. Walmart's just minding their business, making billions of dollars, and Matt Painter just told you what he thinks about the people who just go to Walmart. Anyway, that might be a little bit of a stretch. What does Zach Edey think about all of this? Matter of fact, you know, after the victory, Zach Edey was just like, listen, I'm happy to be here, and I know I'm proving all the haters and all the doubters wrong. Listen to this.
There were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program. I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Quick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me and can't do that anymore.
Uh-oh. Somebody got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Uh-oh. Come on now. You just beat Tennessee, and now you got to let everybody know how nobody looked at you. And good for him. He should have a chip on his shoulder. And good for him. He has bounced back from some disappointments in Purdue overall as a program. And the whole idea of him sticking around with the Boilermakers has been to improve his draft status and stock and prove that he's not a joke and to prove that he's not just some giant guy. You want to talk about coaches overlooking him? One guy who actually paid him a compliment is the man who doesn't like anybody. It's Dan Hurley, the head coach of UConn. He was on the Herd, and he actually had some positive words. Listen to this.
If Zach Edey is not like a lottery pick and, you know, a tremendous NBA player, then there's something wrong with the NBA. You know, like, then they're maybe not playing the right game at that level. You know, this guy's been as dominant, you know, like, brings you back to like Ralph Sampson, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson type of performances at that spot. So, you know, the kid's a special player. And special players, when they go to that next level, they add new skills quickly. So I think he's going to get to the NBA and increase his range in his shooting, his passing, his dribbling, and he'll adapt. That's what special players do.
Okay. I'm real interested and what Zach Edey can do on the next level. Because, yes, he's 7'4", he's 300 pounds, but it's true, the NBA, as Coach Hurley just heard him, it's a different league. And, I mean, we can all now blame, you know, the coaches for not utilizing big men, and we can all say that this guy wouldn't play here and he can't do this. And Zach Edey's going to play in the NBA. Is he going to be some type of superstar? I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't see him having the athleticism and the speed to get up and down the court. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he'll be a good backup. But he's not all that fleet of foot. I remember a couple of weeks ago, we had right here on air, we had a conversation about Shaquille O'Neal and what Shaquille O'Neal would be able to do in the NBA right now. And I think Shaq would just destroy everybody. Because he's going up and down the court. Nobody be able to move him off his spot. I don't want to say he would neutralize or it wouldn't matter about the three-point shot. But it wouldn't. He'd have everybody in foul trouble. And I just think that Zach Edey, yes, he's skilled. Yes, he's big. Yes, he can score. He can rebound. But I just don't see him moving up and down the court with some of these freaks of nature. I mean, if you look at him and then you look at another 7'4", 7'5 guy in Victor Wembanyama, the fluidity of somebody like Wembanyama is off the charts. where Zach Edey looks to be a little slower. And so I love the fact that, well, not a little slower, he's probably a lot slower. I love the fact that he has a chip on his shoulder. I love the fact that he's letting everybody know that, hey, you can't ignore me. But by the time we get to the NBA level, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that the same type of way. The players are bigger, they're stronger, and they're going to be faster. You know, how he keeps up, is he going to lose weight? I don't see it working. I don't see him dominating in the NBA. Good player, yes. Role player, yes. Superstar Zach Edey in the NBA, no. And I think if that were going to be the case, he wouldn't have stayed at Purdue all of these years. The NBA would be knocking down his door, telling him that we need you, we want you. And that just has not been the case. I don't think so. Hickey, what do you think about Zach Edey and what he might do on the next level?
Could not agree with you more. I think he's a great college player, but in terms of the next level, I don't think a lot of his game translates. He's not effective outside of the paint. And as we know in today's game, no matter who you are as a big man, you got to have range. You got to be able to stretch the floor, not just 2 feet from the basket, but 25 feet from the basket. I think his passing is good from down low. But to your point also, like, I think part of the reason why he's so successful in college is his size. Like you watched the game against Tennessee yesterday, the size that he had, like 6 inches. I'm the tallest guy that the Volunteers are throwing out there. And really, outside of UConn's big man, Donovan Clingan, like, there's really not another guy of his size that he's going to face. Where if you go to the NBA, I mean, there's a 7-footer on almost every team. And so I think that also limits his effectiveness as well. It doesn't take away from what he's done at the college level. But in terms of NBA, how he projects, I'm with you. I think nothing more than a backup, a few minutes here and there. But if he was anything in terms of a first-round or lottery pick, he would have been in the NBA a long time ago.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people boosting him up right now. And, oh, you're going to be high and lottery and be – I don't see it because we don't see – we've probably seen the upside. This is probably the best that he's going to be. And I heard Coach Hurley, and who am I to have an opinion? I'm not a college basketball coach. I haven't won a championship, but I'm just going by the eye test, man. Like, as Hickey just said, they gave this man the ball in the post, and he got to cooking everybody. They were trying to defend him. They're putting a forearm into him. They can't put a forearm in his back because he's too tall. They're putting a forearm in his thighs. That's how tall this guy is. In the NBA, think about a premier defender. Somebody like a Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is what, 7'1", 7'2"? Rudy Gobert moves like the wind. Zach Edey doesn't move like any of these guys. He gets the ball into the post, into the paint. He puts the ball in the basket, and then he keeps it moving. I think when you start thinking about NBA length and NBA athleticism, it just does not translate for Zach Edey. And so, yeah, continue on with the press conferences. Continue on telling everybody how much, you know, people are not paying attention to you. But if you go into the NBA, and if this man is putting up 20-10, I'd be shocked. I'd be surprised. I don't expect it. Championship? Yeah, let's see if you can do that. But I don't think there's too much upside unless he's going to lose weight and all of a sudden become a gazelle. I think he's a throwback. If this was a different era, if this was 20 years ago, yeah, I think we'd say Zach Edey would probably be number one overall. This is 2024. We're going to blame the NBA because this guy just physically doesn't fit? That's a tough one for me. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I have no idea what Zach Edey's going to be in the NBA. I do know this. He ain't athletic enough. Not athletic enough to last. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about a guy who is athletic. And I don't know if he's going to work out in the NBA. I do not think so. But there are people who are saying that he needs to go to the NFL. It's DJ Burns of North Carolina State. We're going to talk about him on the other side. Speaking of a big man, Joel Embiid might come back to play basketball like this season, like this week. It's crazy. Yeah, this is Big Man Hour. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. I want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. Hickey, it took us an extra 20 minutes, but LSU and Iowa, they are finally underway. Iowa currently leads, had to wait for Caitlin Clark three, 12-4. This, I mentioned that, and Caitlin Clark knocks down a three. Hickey, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed so far, and mostly it's nothing to do with basketball. Kim Mulkey is just wearing a normal, understated, green pantsuit. It's very simple. Like, what happened? Did she lose her clothes this morning?
Yeah, I'm shocked. It's like a, what would you call it? Not an olive green, like a winter green, maybe? Like, it's not like a neon green, which, okay, fine, you want to have a plain green suit, but neon green, it still stands out. She looks like, right, just another coach. I don't know if she lost a bet. I don't know what happened, but yeah, that's shocking to see her dressed so, we'll say, normal.
Normal, understated. Typically, she's wearing feathers and sequins, and she's wearing shiny clothes all the time. And today, I guess, I don't know, is it all business? I have no idea. But also, by the way, over the weekend, that story came out that Kim she is angry. She's on the court calling a timeout.
She's on the court.
Yeah. What is she doing?
Trying to call a timeout.
Yeah, she is so angry at her team. Iowa is beating LSU 17-9. Like, Mulkey just ran onto the court. She's screaming and waving, and damn. Does she drink the same thing that, who's the guy who drink with Dan Campbell, right? What does he drink? Gasoline with coffee? That's what he has, right?
With a little kick of espresso in there, too.
Yeah, I mean, she must drink the same thing in the morning. And she is, the article came out from the Washington Post over the weekend. The one that she was talking about hiring the best defamation lawyers. And she said she didn't read it. And a lot of it was really just about some of her relationships with her family, which she happens to be estranged from. There were points in there where they said that she's had some not the greatest or warmest relationships with some of her gay players. And it's a report. And I don't know, maybe everything in there is true. She hasn't, as far as I know, sued anybody yet. And so Kim Mulkey always, I don't want to say always angry, but she is never afraid to just let loose like she just did a few minutes ago. And she stormed out onto the court to make sure that her team got its timeout. 855-212-4CBS. We'll keep you up to date on LSU and Iowa as the night continues on. Right before we went to break, we did talk about Zach Edey and what he could be, what he possibly could end up doing in the NBA. And I see him as a role player. That's if he actually gets out onto the court and plays. He's going to be a backup center. You know, how much time he plays, how many minutes he gets, we're going to have to wait and see. But there's another player who's going to be in the Final Four as well. He's actually going to be opposing Zach Edey with North Carolina State. It's DJ Burns Jr., the man that everybody has learned about over the past several weeks as North Carolina State has basically shocked everybody to end up here in the Final Four. And what's interesting about him? His size as well. 6'9", 275 pounds. He is also the type of dude that you would look at him and go, man, if this was a different era, if this was a different day, he'd be in the NBA. I don't think that's going to be a projection for him, mainly because of his size, more so because of his weight. We see what he can do with the basketball in his hands. He's slick. He's crafty. For a man that size to move the way he does, he is like your worst nightmare at LA Fitness. And we played this for you last hour. I want you to hear it again. Nikola Jokic, who is not easily amused or entertained, don't ask him about anything but his horses and going to sleep. Even Nikola Jokic had some positive words and praise for DJ Burns Jr.
He's amazing.
You watch a lot of college basketball?
No, I just watch. Actually, they're not supposed to make it, right? It's something that...
Well, they're a conference tournament to get in. What do you like about DJ's game?
I think he's so skilled. Especially lefty. I love to be lefty. And, like... It seems like teammates like to play with him, so got to be a good guy.
And he's a fun dude. After he dropped 29 points and beating Duke, he then basically trolled Duke, and he trolled Jared McClain for dancing. He's like, hey, dance away, and you got plenty of time to go out and dance. So he's willing to go out there and talk trash. But he was alerted to what Nikola Jokic had to say about him, and of course, when the MVP and one of the greatest big men that the NBA has ever seen praises you, you're going to appreciate it. Listen to what DJ had to say.
Nikola Jokic today talked about maybe his league's best press conference. He's watching you guys play, watching you play. Do you draw anything from him?
Really?
See the way he plays?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he dunks a lot more than me, but I feel like, you know, he also shoots threes way better than me. So I feel like as far as, you know, post moves and everything, we have a similar game in a sense. I wouldn't say all of our game, but I say specifically as far from a post aspect.
Yeah, come on now. Let's chill out here. DJ Burns, look, there's only one Jokic, and there's a lot of people who can, quote-unquote, operate in the post. And DJ Burns happens to be one of them, and he's quite good at it. 6'9". 275 pounds. You know, he does not have the length of a Zach Edey, who happens to be 7'4", but he does have the weight. He does have the footwork. And so much so that there are actually folks saying that DJ Burns should go in the NFL. Like, there were stories that came out today that said that there are NFL teams and scouts who are looking at him because of his weight, his size, and his footwork. That he could be an offensive lineman. And we've seen football players come out and turn into damn good NFL players. Guys like Julius Peppers, Tony Gonzalez comes to mind. Tony Gonzalez is playing a skill position. He's catching a ball. Julius Peppers is chasing people down. Now, DJ Burns, yeah, 6'9", 275, I think he'd be more of a people mover. His head coach, Kevin Keats, he talked about this man, his play, and beating up on Duke. He said, look, they had one guy on him, and he cooked him.
DJ Burns didn't play a lot because he got his second foul, and so we knew we had an advantage, you know, throwing the ball inside to him. They decided, which some teams do, not to double-team him, and obviously he shot 13 for 19 and had 29 points.
Yeah, season high, 29 points. For DJ Burns. Steve Lapis joined us last hour, college basketball analyst for CBS, and he talked about DJ Burns, and he said that Keats basically told him that, yeah, there might be teams looking at him from an NFL perspective, but the guy's a teddy bear. Like, how you gonna go play in the NFL and you don't got a little bit of nasty in you? You don't got a mean streak. It's difficult. I think there are folks who are built for playing football. And just because he might have the physical frame, we don't know how strong he is when it comes down to manhandling somebody. Well, come on. I know Aaron Donald is gone. But could you imagine Aaron Donald trying to move him out the way? He'd probably do it with ease. And so it's a nice conversation starter. It sounds like a nice possibility. But I just think DJ Burns will be somewhere playing basketball. I have no idea. I don't think we're going to see this man on an NFL field. Hickey, what do you think? Does he got any chance?
No. I would, though. Like, I feel like when you talk about offensive linemen that are mobile and, like, light in their feet, they get called, like, dancing bear. That's kind of like the term. I think that would use that term for him. He's very light on his feet, but I'm with you. I don't think he's now all of a sudden going to slide into left tackle and be a stalwart there for 10 years.
Yeah. You know what? These phones really do listen to you. Did you know that, Hickey?
Oh, yeah. Why? What happened for you?
No, I just popped open a phone to get ready to throw the break here. And you want to know who popped up on the screen?
DJ Burns.
DJ Burns. Telling the fans, telling the Duke fans, your season is over. And so maybe he does have a little bit of a mean streak. He's not afraid to talk trash, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does. NFL, though, you got to grow up for that, man. You got to grow up playing. And I don't know when the last time that man was on a football field, but I don't see it. A little easier said than done. Nice story. Not happening. Not happening. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. I think it would be easier for a football player, and I know we've gone through this before. I think it's easier for a football player to move to the NBA than it is, I think, for an NBA player to move to the NFL. Hickey, what do you think about that?
I'm with you. From a physicality and just toughness perspective, the game is so drastically different going from the NBA to the NFL. I'm with you. NBA players do not stand a chance in tackle football.
Yeah, and someone like T.O., Terrell Owens, was a very, very good basketball player. And, you know, maybe with a little bit of application, maybe he could have played in the league. I just think it's tough. I mean, we've had some stories and fantasies about, oh, man, could you imagine if LeBron James played tight end in the NFL? It's just like, I don't think LeBron James wants to get hit. He's the one going straight to the basket absorbing punishment. But a totally different situation when dudes are just out there aiming for your midsection. And by the way, LeBron is 6'9". Okay, the man is 6'9". He'd be a big target to get smacked all over the place. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of another big man, this guy actually is in the NBA. This man was an MVP last year. He's always hurt, but he might be returning. Like, what are we doing here? I'm talking about Joel Embiid. We're going to give you an update on him on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. At the end of the first quarter, LSU, they lead Iowa 31-26. 31-26, LSU currently leads Iowa. If you take a look at the box score right fast, Andrew Reese leading the way for the Lady Tigers, 10 points and 5 rebounds. Meanwhile, Caitlin Clark, of course, leading the way for the Hawkeyes. She has 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting overall. Right before we went to break, we talked about a couple of big men on the men's side. You know, what could a DJ Burns potentially do, not in an NBA, but in the NFL? It's been reported that there are some scouts checking out North Carolina State's best player. And then, of course, there's been a lot of talk about Zach Edey and what the 7'4" big man could potentially do in the NBA. I did make a point that it'd be tough for a DJ Burns to transition into the NFL. I think if you look at both sports, if you got to just look at football and then basketball, I think it's just easier. You're used to absorbing the contact. I think it's easier for someone to go from playing football to basketball. A lot of basketball players don't want to get hit. That's just the reality of it. And so I'm going to tell you about a basketball player who, damn it, it feels like he gets hit all the time. Looks like we might have a Joel Embiid return, but I'll tell you about that momentarily. Let's go ahead and pick up the phones. We got Gary calling from Pennsylvania. You're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Reef Show.
Hey, good evening, JR. The name's Garvey, by the way. I'm not surprised you got it wrong because nobody gets my name right the first time around, but no big deal. But yes, I'm a big-time fan. You know, I love your no-nonsense attitude. You're passionate, you're articulate, when it comes to whatever your sports takes can be. And that's why I'm a little it's weird. I usually agree with everything you say until now. I mean, I know that you said that you feel like it's easier to transition from playing football in college to playing in the NBA, and I just couldn't disagree more. I mean,
thank you for the kind words. Say again, Garvey. I want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Your take before, just before the break, I heard you saying that, you feel like it's easier for, a college football player to, transition to the NBA as opposed to
No. Not necessarily college. I'm just speaking about flat period, and mostly from a professional's perspective, not a college dump. I'm just saying in a general sense.
Okay.
And we could throw professional out the window. If I got to look at a basketball player and tell him just to play football, we know there are many different positions, I think it's going to be easier for someone who plays football. If you have any shooting ability, I think it's easier for someone who plays football to move into playing basketball as opposed to someone playing basketball to just play football. You could look at it even from a high school level. I mean, if you ask a kid who's playing basketball at the high school, hey, man, we're going to put you on a football field. I think it's a little bit tougher of a transition versus asking a guy who plays football to play basketball.
I understand what you're saying. I just from a toughness standpoint, obviously, it'll be easy for a football player to transition, playing basketball. I'm sure anybody could do that in their sleep. From a toughness standpoint, especially from an athleticism standpoint, you got it there. But I just can't ignore the amount of NFL players who went on in the league and played well that played basketball in college. Not to deviate too far from your point, but I mean, outside of Charlie Ward, I can't think of a guy who played football at a high level. Outside of Charlie Ward, that went on to the NBA and played pretty well. I mean, I'm thinking about guys off the top of my head. I mean, you even named a couple of them. Tony Gonzalez, Julius Peppers. I mean, these are Hall of Fame type guys.
Right.
Jimmy Graham,
yeah.
Donovan McNabb, Antoine Randall, Martellus Bennett, Vincent Jackson, Julius Thomas. I mean, the list goes on and on from guys who transitioned from playing ball and basketball in the NCAA and went on to the football and did great things. I mean, it's kind of a one-sided thing. I mean, you can't think of any NBA players.
The point that kind of makes my point. It's difficult. Those are supreme athletes. Those guys also weren't soft. They played both sports at the same time. So I just find it ridiculous. Like, you can name the list of guys from the past 30 years. These are supreme athletes. I'm talking flat, period. Not the best of the best. I just told you in the simplest way, if we took a look at high school students, I think most basketball players in high school would have a more difficult time transitioning. I'm not saying it's everybody. I mean, we can name Hall of Fame athletes, some of the best athletes that we've ever seen. But in a general sense, to think that it's easier for a basketball player just to go play football, nah, man, it's getting punched in the face and hit around is not easy, man. It's not, Garvey.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, a point guard's not going to go ahead and play, offensive guard or D end, in high school. That's for sure. I mean, they'll have to be, based on a position, whatever.
Yeah, it's a general sense. We could think about the supreme human beings. I could look at somebody like Frank Thomas and go, oh my God, this guy played football and baseball. We could think about the Deion Sanders. These are the best of the best. But in a general sense, it's tough looking at a basketball player and say, hey man, now you're gonna play football. What are you gonna do? Wide receiver, quarterback?
Listen, man, I'm in the mountains. I'm probably gonna lose you, but. Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking my call. I thought I heard something crazy, and I just had to check you on it. But, keep doing your thing, man. You have a good one.
Thank you, Garvey, for calling from PA. No doubt about it. Yeah, I don't – Hickey, did I say – I know you agreed with me, but did I say anything that outlandish? I mean, we can look at the top athletes, but as an overall, nah, man, basketball players, to just play football, it's not easy. It's tough. I have seen people play football, and when you put them on a basketball court, they're like a runaway train. Like, they're not afraid. Like, basketball is a contact sport, but not to the degree that football is. And I've seen football players get on the court, and they have no fear. Like, we got basketball players who don't want to go to the hole, who don't want to rebound. You know, toughness is not an issue when it comes to a football player playing basketball. A lot of times, sometimes they're too aggressive.
Right, and I maybe took it from a too literal sense, but this is how I envisioned it when you're talking about it. Like, all right, take Paul George, drop him in the NFL. Take Patrick Mahomes, drop him in the NBA. Who would have more success? And, like, in cases where, like you said, you're not playing both sports, so it's like kind of have a built-in advantage. It's just like you have that mindset of the NBA player versus the mindset of a football player. It is different. I think that aggressive, fearless mindset would get you further if you're a football player just transitioning without much basketball background to succeed more than vice versa, a basketball player with not a lot of football background going to play in the NFL where just the physicality alone, I mean, I get some of it selling calls, but you see some of these guys go down in pain and
right, and
try to, you know, act like they got shot when you know, someone bumps a shoulder into them. The NFL, that's a love tap. And there's just that physicality, I think, just right there makes it easier for the NFL transitioning to the NBA.
Yeah, and it's all levels. I wasn't referring to DJ Burns and saying that, oh, he was going to have an easy. I don't see him in the NFL. I don't know how strong he is, and maybe you put him in the weight room and NFL conditioning, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe he could end up being one of the best offensive linemen if he did, or somebody does give him a chance, or even if he wants to try. I mean, we heard this from Steve Lapis, former coach, when he joined us last hour. He said he's a teddy bear. He's a nice guy. And, yeah, I mean, he was talking trash to all the Duke fans. I mean, why wouldn't you? North Carolina State beating Duke? Yeah, of course you're going to talk some trash. But when you really boil it down and you really break it down, it's in between your ears. It's your mentality. Like, what do you prepare for? I mean, what are we going to do next? We're going to throw tennis players, you know, onto the football field and see how tennis players perform? We're going to take golfers? Like, skill sets, it got to match up. Football is tough. It really is. It's not something that everybody can just wake up and say, oh, my God, I'm just going to go play football. Me, I played football one time. You want to know something? I didn't want to get hit. For what? I stuck right back to basketball. I don't need that. Speaking from personal experience, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. LSU and Iowa still playing it close. LSU up 36-34. About 5.5 minutes left in the first half. We'll keep you up to date on that game as it continues on. The phone number, 855-212-4CBS, if you want to give me a holler. When we come back from break, I got an update for you, too. I told you Joel Embiid might return. Yeah, you heard that correctly. Joel Embiid actually looks like he's going to pick up a basketball and play. How long he plays, we have no idea. But Joel Embiid expected to return. And LeBron James playing out of his mind and then talking about retirement. What a shock, right? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. More to come on the other side. Don't move.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.